I'm Brian Russo. Welcome back to Coastal Connection. Next Monday morning, before the break of dawn, hundreds of people will line up on the shoreline and on the rocks along the Ocean City Inlet and watch as the boats go out to sea for the 39th annual White Marlin Open, the world's largest billfish tournament. Last year, we took you to the scales as they brought in the winners, and we met a scientist studying the parasites found in the mouths of these mammoth fish. But this year, we wanted to bring a bit more of the human element to the allure of the White Marlin Open, so we decided to focus on the anglers. More specifically, the three local men who have won the coveted White Marlin division since the tournament's inception. We'll start with the most recent local winner. Brian Roberts caught the second biggest White Marlin ever in tournament history in 2010 while aboard the Shelley II. His 97.5-pounder was the biggest White Marlin caught in over 30 years. Roberts is a passionate fisherman, and he's priming up for another run at White Marlin Open glory this year. But he told me about the day he etched his name into local history.
Pulled into the fleet for the first time, and as soon as we got in there, we saw some marlin cutting across on bait. And actually, so we cruised through in a pretty tight spot, and the fish came up on a dredge, which is a teaser that's underwater. And from there, I took a pitch bait, dropped it back. The fish hit, and you know it was on. We could see how big it was, you know, right away. It was on.
But even before you got in the boat, you knew this was a big fish. It was something special.
Yeah, after the fish we had caught the day before was, I think, 68 pounds, and we could easily see this was fish going to be easily in the 80s. It was huge. Its pectoral fins were so, you know, so large, just spread out. And the fish was only 20 feet behind the boat, really, when we hooked him. So it was just, we knew we had a real good fish on and just took her time with it. Yeah. Usually I'm not usually the one that's winding the fish in. I'm usually the leader guy. So it was kind of special for me because that was truly my first white marlin I've ever caught because I've hooked tons of them. And it just happened to be the first real one that I actually wound in. So it was a little bit different because Jay Phillips, who was on the boat, he was captain in the boat at the time, actually came down and leadered the fish in, and then we got him in the boat.
Yeah. Talk about how significant that was to, you know, not only catch a fish of that size, but end up being, you know, part of local history and holding, you know, almost the record.
Well, it's huge. I mean, for me as a kid, you know, I used to go to scales all the time and just dream about doing this. So to actually come out and actually win the thing, especially since my past 5 years before, we sank in the White Marlin Open. I was on a boat that sank. And, you know, it's just a redemption, and it's amazing.
I was actually just going to bring up the fact that, you know, you've had your glories, but you've also had your pitfalls at the White Marlin. Talk about that day a couple of years ago when, you know, the boat that you were on didn't make it back to the docks.
Well, it was one of those things that you hope never happens, but you know when it does happen, you just hope you have the mental capacity to get through it. And luckily, we were only out there for about 45 minutes, which seemed like an eternity at the time, but it was the best feeling when we actually were rescued.
You know, how big of a deal is it when a local guy wins? Because it doesn't happen every year. It's only happened a handful of times, you know, in the history of the White Marlin that a local guy has won.
It's been great. I mean, I think it's been great for the town of Ocean City and in the local towns. You know, Ocean City was so pumped up, and it was so exciting to see that when you know, we were at a time where, you know, real estate is huge in this area. You know, it was on a decline, and I think a lot of people were down, and it gave some excitement to the town, which was really exciting for me to be participating in that.
What was the thing that you remember the most about the day when you brought that fish in?
Definitely when it hit the scales, actually sitting there watching like the third place fish or second place fish, you know, and just trying to measure up, is our fish going to be bigger than that? That was pretty memorable. And then actually seeing, you know, and hearing the crowd roar, that was just, I'll never forget that. That was amazing.
I know you guys are planning to go out next week for this year's White Marlin Open. What are the ways in which you get ready for that? I mean, is this something that you can prepare for, or is it just lightning striking and being almost lucky to a certain extent?
Well, luck definitely plays a lot into it, by all means. You know, when you catch a big fish like that, there's the preparation piece of it. You have to be ready for when the luck comes your way, you know, to capitalize on the opportunity. So that's the key. You know, as you can see sitting in our office right now, we're getting ready, rigging mm-hmm. things up and trying to get everything, just make sure our lines are perfect, you know, all new leaders, knots are correct. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff is critical when it comes down to having, you know, possibly a world record fish.
Rod Rippon is one of the more interesting stories in local angler folklore. He won the White Marlin Open back in 1995. But the ironic thing about Rippon is that he wasn't much of a fisherman before the tournament, or even after it. But he certainly is proof that sometimes catching the big money fish is all about being in the right place at the right time.
I caught one fish before when I was 12. I remember it well. Loch Raven Reservoir near Baltimore. It was a perch. But I was bartending at Bull on the Beach, and Phil Halk every year he'd charter a boat and take a bunch of us out. You know, I think we went out four years in a row, and of course we never won anything. And 1995 was a good year for us.
So tell me about that day. I mean, when you guys went out, where was it in the course of the week? Tell me about when you got that fish on your line.
Well, it was one of those years that we had some weather at the beginning of the week, so this was Friday morning. You know, it's your last chance Friday, and, you know, we met at the boat at 5 a.m., and, you know, you get to, after a few years of doing this, there's superstitions and rituals, and as our boat left the inlet, we all popped a beer, you know, to bring us good luck, and, you know, we sat out there. We had a few hits throughout the day, but you know, nothing was really hitting good for us. And then it was right, you know, early afternoon. Some people were downstairs. We were, you know, ready to give up. That nothing was biting. And we got a hit. And I just happened to be on the chair and grabbed that line. And that was the one we needed.
So tell me about how long it took you to pull that fish in. And once it got on the boat, you know, did you realize that you had a fish that might be in contention?
It felt like hours. I was sure it weighed 1,000 pounds, and I think it was 2 hours, but I'm told it only took me about 20 minutes to get it on the boat. We were all excited. We knew it was a good one. But then the captain of the boat, he was saying, you know, I'm not sure if that's going to be a winner. I'm not sure if we should even take it in. You know, we looked at them like, you know, we got out and we measured the girth and the length, and we're pretty sure we had a money fish here. And he said, you know, I don't think we should take it in. Now, Phil Halk, who owns the Bull, he said, now, I haven't paid for this boat yet, so let's take this fish in. And we were right. That was the winning fish that year.
Yeah. So you get it back to the dock, and describe just, you know, when you're coming into the dock, especially on that last day, and you're on a boat, and you've got, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people waiting to see the fish, you know, brought up on the line and weighed. Talk about that moment of when, you know, they weighed it and when they announced the weight of the fish.
That was the best, coming in, especially since, you know, we all live here in town. When we backed that boat into Harbor Island, you just look out over that crowd and you know half the people there, and they were like so happy to see some local guys coming in. And when, you know, we all just sort of started to sweat when they started to pull that fish up, thinking, well, maybe, I hope the captain wasn't right. But they you know, then the gale came up and that number came up, and I looked at the leaderboard, and we all looked at each other and said, we've got the biggest one. And we all just clapped and screamed and ran straight to the bar.
So tell me how things changed for you after that. I mean, I know that, you know, the White Marlin Open being the biggest billfish tournament in the world, and there's so much money that changes hands, it doesn't always end up being the guy who catches the fish gets all of that money. Talk about how that kind of all breaks down, and if your life changed a little bit financially after catching the prize-winning fish at the White Marlin.
Well, my new wife bought a new sofa, and after my bar bill that night, I didn't have any money left. Well, what we did was me and four other guys, we just had one Calcutta. So you know, we split, I think, a whopping $20,000. But I don't think that's the important part, because if you go down to the White Marlin Open this year and you open that brochure and you look at the year 1995, you will see that the champion that year was Rod Rippon. And I think that's really what is worth more than anything. Yeah.
You know, and all those years later, I mean, when you go down there to watch the boats come in, I mean, do people still remember you as the winner of 1995?
It's so funny. I'll walk through there and, you know, like the bartenders that work around down around the reel in, you'll hear them scream out, "Pass winner, Rod Rippon!" And, you know, I raise my hands, but it's just all fun. Yeah.
You said before that you caught the prize-winning white marlin in 1995. The biggest thing you ever caught was a perch as a boy. How much fishing have you done since you won that fish?
Well, you know, I've gone out a few times on the bay with my kids, and I've gone fishing with them. Unfortunately, I really haven't done much catching.
Yeah.
So I might have hung up my fishing rod for a while.
It doesn't really get better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I've already won the White Marlin Open. What am I going to do with another perch?
Tom Hinkle won the tournament in 2008. He's a local school teacher and a high school football coach. He caught his fish on the first day of the tournament. He says he sat on pins and needles all week, watching his name sit atop the leaderboard, just waiting for a big fish to knock him off. But it didn't happen that way, although it almost did, as Hinkle's fish ended up in a tie with another white marlin that was caught on the last day of the tournament.
Within about 45 seconds, it came out of the air, and everybody was like, that's a big one. You know, pretty much, don't screw it up. And when you have that rod in your hand, you're thinking, you know, don't make any mistakes. Right. And, you know, that's when your heart starts going pitter-patter. And the fish came up fairly quickly. I mean, we had it to the boat in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
And somebody had the gaff, and we knew it was a gaffer when it first came up. So that's when you get the gaff out. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it came up alongside of the boat, the mate swiped at it and missed it the first time because it was right in the whitewash, and everybody sort of gasped. And then it came back around the second time he stuck it, and we brought it in.
Tell people, for folks that aren't familiar with fishing, what makes a fish gaff-worthy?
Well, you can see when it comes out of the water, especially for a marlin, you can say it's got big shoulders in it.
Right.
And that's what you're looking for. They can have a pretty good length to them, but the girth is what really makes them a big fish that you need to take to the scales. So if a marlin has what we say big shoulders on it, then get the gaff out.
When you got the thing on the boat, did you know straight away that this was a contender?
There's actually a formula for it. It's being a math teacher, you know, I was the one that was allowed to do the calculations.
Right. Well, tell me about the formula.
It is, let's see if I can remember this now, it's length times the girth squared divided by 800. It's the formula for the area or the volume of a wedge. And that's what marlins pretty much resemble, a wedge. And when we did that, we were up in the high 70s, low 80s estimates. And then we both said to each other, we're going to the city.
So tell me about that journey back, because I know, you know, many people don't realize just how far out you are.
Well, we were fishing what we call at the fence. You're allowed 100 nautical miles from Ocean City Inlet, and we were about 98. Mm-hmm. So we knew we had a trip back. And coming back in, you know, it was a long ride, but we were excited. And being the first day, there were so many fish being weighed, we had to wait literally close to 3 hours in the marina to get the fish weighed. We ran out of gas right before the bridge opened up because we were waiting for the bridge to open up. So we had to literally get pushed over to MR Ducks and get gas. And as we were getting gas, the DNR came up on us and boarded us. Checked our stuff out, make sure we were fully equipped, looked at the fish, and we're like, come on, man, you know, we got to make this bridge. We got to get this fish to the scales, you know, because they lose weight right as you're waiting. So it was just a lot of drawn-out process, even once we got back to Ocean City to actually weigh the fish.
When they put the thing, you know, on the scale and raised it up, talk about that moment for you.
Well, we had guesstimates of the weight from the formula. We thought it was like 77 pounds. And the owner of the boat, Charlie Horning, is a big Redskins fan. And when the fish went up and it was 81 pounds, they all started yelling, Art Monk, Art Monk. Well, Art Monk was number 81 for the Redskins. So going back to the video, the footage, everybody's screaming Art Monk, and they're like, what the heck are you screaming Art Monk for? And we knew that if you got a fish in the 80-pound class range, then you had a really good chance of at least being in the top three.
So tell me about the rest of the week, because that happened on a Monday. You've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to wait it out and just hope that no one else catches one bigger.
Well, I had to turn my phone off Monday when I got home because it just blew up. And I usually enjoy that week going out to the open down to Harbor Island and, you know, talking fish stories with everybody. But I stayed home that week. I didn't go out, stayed home, and I was pretty much puckered up, as they say. I told my wife not to talk to me about it. Someone asked me to do an interview for a radio show that Thursday, what it was like to be in first place, and I was like, absolutely not. Yeah. Fishermen are a little superstitious kind.
Well, it almost sounds like, you know, everyone left you alone, like a pitcher that was on a no-hitter.
Yeah, it was like that. I sheltered myself. Yeah. You know, I was just like, exactly, don't say a word about it.
When the tournament wrapped and you were still top of the leaderboard, what did that feel like? And how did winning the White Marlin Open change your life?
Well, I still remember coming in on that Friday and I was in the salon, and the captain came down. He said, well, they via radio, he heard they weighed another 81-pounder. And the move was like, all right, it happens, okay? And then he said, well, they weren't across the board, meaning they didn't get in the big money Calcuttas. So that dropped the winnings down from, I think, $1.3 million to $956,000. So we were all still pretty elated. And then that's when we knew that, you know, we had technically tied, but we had won the big money. Yeah. And it was a pretty big party the next couple of days, as you can imagine.
It's like actors say that once they win, you know, an Academy Award, you know, they're always Academy Award winner, and then their name. Now, do you feel like after winning the White Marlin Open, you're always White Marlin Open winner, Tommy Hinkle?
Without a doubt. I mean, your name gets mentioned. People introduce you like, hey, I know this guy. This is Tommy. You know, he won the White Marlin Open a couple years ago. But the most overwhelming part of the whole thing was after the fact, people that you talk to, they were really saying, hey, man, we were rooting for you. You were like the hometown guy. And that still gives me chills, being the fact that you're local. And people, it was in people's hearts. They wanted to see a local guy win. Mm-hmm. It just means so much more to the community and to Ocean City. And Jim Motzko, the guy who runs the tournament, he's like, it's so nice to have a local person win him, because it doesn't happen that often.
That was Tom Hinkle, Rod Rippon, and Brian Roberts, three local men who have all won the White Marlin Open. To learn more about the White Marlin Open, click to our website, WAMUcoast.org. Coming up after the break, we'll find out what this is. And would you believe me if I told you that it's a sandcastle? We'll meet its creator. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.